Hello, everyone. I hope I didn't just end a meeting that Corinne was in. Let me pull up my messaging just to make sure. Okay. I think we're okay. All right. How's everybody doing today? Let me just kind of get situated here. Chat, y'all come in and say hi. And participants, and we already have a couple. Ooh, we have a bunch of people with their hand raised. Awesome. Okay. All right. Why don't y'all comment about where you're from? Yes, Lisa already did it. New York. Awesome. Since we have so many newbies, and I want to welcome all the newbies who are here joining us today. And for the first time, maybe this might be your first Zoom call. Let us know if it's your first Zoom coaching call. Too. That would be fun to see. And just put in the chat, whatever. Oh, Hope. Awesome. And Catherine too. And I think Catherine's got her hand raised. So she might be just on it. Yeah. So let me just kind of tell y'all how this works real quick. Since some of this is your first. Okay. Lots of folks where it's your first. So this is called office hours coaching. And I actually didn't even know this term until Corinne kind of introduced it to me a couple years ago. And actually, let me start out with introducing myself, right? That's probably a good idea. I am Coach Betsy. You may have seen, I did a post this morning where I did a little before and after picture in Facebook just to introduce myself. And I just realized I didn't put my other earring in. I'm going to do that while I'm talking. Oh my gosh, I love seeing all these newbies on here. Just keep coming in. We'll just wait a couple of minutes until we get everybody in here. I've been a member of PNP since, I think, at least 2007. That's the evidence I could find is that I joined in 2007. I found Corinne on the Weight Watchers message boards way back in the day when we had message boards before Facebook and all of that, and I was doing my umpteenth try at Weight Watchers to lose the weight. And now I am a coach with PNP. The rest is history, right? But I stuck with Corinne through many years of, and I mean, I just stayed with her, and sometimes I wasn't losing weight, you know, and I wasn't, but I just kept paying. Y'all, back then we paid $5.95 a month, and I just kept paying it. And I know now that there was a reason I just never quit, right? I never stopped because I finally lost the weight for good. I actually lost the weight once, not for good, and gained some of it back. And then I finally lost the weight for good in 2016, 70 pounds total. And now I am a coach. I have a background in social work, and I was working at a university here in Little Rock where I live. And I decided I wanted to change careers and do something new and different. And I got coached and really just fell in love with the whole concept of coaching. And I knew it worked because it worked for me. And I just decided I wanted to help other folks do it too. So, and it's, you know, I never thought that I would be able to work for PNP. I thought I'd go out on my own and be a coach, but to be able to work with the program that I benefited so much from, it's just been such an amazing honor and privilege, and I love every minute of it. So, all right. So, if y'all have to kind of talk about how this works real quick. So, a lot of y'all have looks like it's you figured it out that you raise your hand. So, down at the bottom, if you want to get coached. So, there are approximately 60 people on this call right now, and they'll come in and out. 61. Just added another one. And they are all watching me right now. Y'all are all watching me, right? And if you raise your hand, I will bring you on the screen with me to coach. And everyone else will watch us. And so if you have your hand raised now, I'm going to call on you. So if you did not intend to raise your hand, you can just press the raise hand button again and it will go down. Because I know some of y'all are just watching today to just kind of see how all of this works. So, and that's great, right? It's totally up to you. But we call this office hours because it's like I'm just sitting here in my office, which I am, for just a couple of hours to, you know, to just see, you know, who comes on and who needs help, right? And that's why we call it office hours. And you don't have to make an appointment ahead of time. You just come on and raise your hand. And so, actually, Corinne, in a week or so, not next week, but I think the next, she's going to be doing an office hours call where you just come on and raise your hand, I think. You'll have to check the calendar just to be sure. But other times, like on Wednesdays, most Wednesdays when Corinne does her coaching, those are scheduled ahead of time. And that's all on the website where you find out how to do that and how to schedule a call with Corinne. So, all right, let's see. There's a couple of questions. Okay, there's a couple of questions that I'll answer in just a little while, okay, after I get through a few folks, so because we got a big old line of people here. So I'm going to start with Catherine, and then we'll go from here. And if y'all have any, like, questions about how all this works, you can definitely put it in the chat, and the rest of y'all can kind of answer and help out, okay? All right, Catherine, Liz, Ellen, and Maggie is the line that are the people that are in line. From what I can see, there's other people in line too after that, but I've got Catherine, Liz, Ellen, and Maggie up first. All right. And I'll just get through as many folks as I can. All right. Are you there? Hello? Are you there? The other thing is for you newbies, is that you got to make sure that you're, let's see, I'll do ask to start video, see if that helps. You've got to make sure that your Zoom app, there, here she comes, maybe. There you are. Can I hear you? Oh, I can't hear you. You may have to go into the settings on your Zoom app and enable your phone to have audio. So, Catherine, I'm going to take you back down and then just raise your hand again. And whenever you get fixed up, I'll bring you back on. Okay, Liz, you're up next. Are you there, Liz?
Hello?
Yes. Let me ask you to start your video.
There we go. Oh, I think I just pressed the wrong button.
Okay, let me do it again. Let's see. There we go. There you are. Are you there?
Awesome.
Yes. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Yes, good. Are you in one of our newbies?
No, I joined in January.
Okay, so you're one of our elders. Awesome. All right.
Yes. Yeah. So I've been having this, like,
you're kind of cutting out.
I've tried to work through, and I can't really figure it out. It's quite irritating. And that I hate morning. Oh,
there you are. You're back.
My back.
Okay. Yeah. Keep going.
I'm having a thought, and I've had this thought for ages that I hate mornings. I've tried to, like, TDL on it. I've tried to create an intentional model around it. And I just can't, I don't know how to change the thought.
So what's your intentional thought that you've come up with?
That by waking up even slightly earlier, I'll be able to start my day in a better mood.
No, because that's not how it works, right? Just waking up earlier doesn't put you in a better mood. It's all your thoughts that do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll wake up early, and then I'll be angry.
Why? Why are you angry? Early. What are you thinking about waking up early that causes you to feel angry?
What I've come up with, I think it comes from the things that I have to do throughout the day. And so I have my plan, but I think it comes from a thought of there's so much to do in a day.
Okay. So that's wake up immediately thinking that.
Yes.
Okay.
Even if, because I'll wake up and my mornings, most of my day is consumed with going to classes. So there's a portion of my day that's just scheduled for me.
No, see that creates that's another thought, right? I mean, you are choosing to go to classes. You are choosing your life. So that puts you, I mean, you don't want to say my day is scheduled for me because that puts you in that victim mode. No, you're choosing.
Okay.
You're choosing to go to these classes. You're choosing everything
in your life.
So this is all your choice. Okay.
Right? That makes sense.
And that may be a good thought for you to practice is this is all my choice.
Yes. That might help.
Right? Because you're thinking like a lot of it is not your choice right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I go with that thought then.
Mm-hmm.
Then hopefully.
And then it's like, and then when you think this is all my choice, and then you think, then you think I'm choosing this because you want to remind yourself why you're choosing all this stuff, right?
Right. Okay.
You want to further your career. You want to be a better employee. You want to be a better person. And so it's important for you to remind yourself of that, why you're making all these choices.
Okay. I like that. I think that'll help much more.
So I want you to do some journaling and say, okay, these are the choices that I make every day to, to get up out of bed, to go to work, to go to my classes and all of this. And this is why. This is why I make these choices.
Okay.
And, you know, and if you have kids or whatever it is, it's like, okay, this is why I choose to, you know, to do all this stuff for my kids because I love them, because I want the best for them, and because, you know, because I want the best for myself.
Right.
Yeah. And you're not,
I like that.
You're not a victim to your choices.
Okay.
Yeah. So just do
that'll
some
help a lot. So I'll work on that.
Yeah. Just kind of turn it around there and, and get back on that positive train.
Okay. Because then once I'm awake and I'm in class and sitting there and then I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's just that initial, the alarm goes off.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, and a lot of us wake up with, you know, crap thoughts and you want like this power thought to, you know, when you wake up in the morning and say, no, I'm choosing all of this and let's go do this.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Yes. Okay.
But also even before that, it's really important to say, you know, well, of course I'm going to wake up and, you know, of course I'm going to want to stay in bed or of course I'm not going to.
Okay.
But I'm choosing this because of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Okay. Bye. All right. Yeah. So no one can see each other, y'all, unless I bring you on the screen. Everyone can see me right now, but we can't see each other. You know, y'all can't see each other is what I'm trying to say. So, okay, let's see if, who was it that we were looking for at the beginning? I don't see her yet. So I'm just going to keep going down the line. What was her name? I'm so bad with names, y'all. Okay, Ellen and Maggie. Ellen, Maggie, and Hope. Y'all are up next. So Ellen, let's get you up. Are you there?
I'm here. What do I need to do?
Okay, let me ask you to start your video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe I have to do that all the time. There you are. Oh, how pretty. Everybody's outside today.
I'm outside. Do I have to turn? Am I sideways or am I fine?
No, you're fine. You're fine. Okay. So what's up?
You helped me before with a binging issue. And so I joined in June and really worked the program. And I'm a teacher, so I had time this summer and read and listened and everything, did my plan. And now I am not blaming going back to school. However, I would say my circumstance is I'm back at school.
Right.
I'm one of those people that's a mom and I come home and then the second shift starts and I'm driving my kids around, need to make them food and everything.
Does it help you to call it the second shift?
No.
Probably not, right?
I've heard Corinne say like you're getting geared up for your second job.
Right. And like, I mean, yeah, if you love your second job, right, as a mom.
Yeah.
But if you make it mean, oh my gosh, here I go back to work, you know, yeah, do my second shift. So just wanted to throw that out there. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I feel resentment because I am working because I want to support my family, my husband and I. I know that's my choice, but I feel resentment that I had 8 hours more to myself and my family. And now, bam, it's 8 hours about taken away from what I want to do what I need to do in order to make money. And I feel like the circumstance, I don't know if it's related or not, but I went back to school and now I'm binging more. I make a plan every day, but I'm not resisting the urges.
Yeah, because you're feeling so much resentment, right? About going back to work. You probably don't want to feel all this resentment. So you're eating to not feel it. But here's the thing. You said, I want to go back to something you said. You said, I'm not doing what I want to do what I need to do.
Right.
And that's not right. You are always doing what you want to do. Right.
Well, I want to be able to support my family and not have to work, but I need to work.
Well, I mean, but you know, the reality is that that is not it. So you are doing, so it's important for you to remind yourself, no, I am doing what I want to do. I want to support my family, and working 8 hours a day is what I am choosing to make that happen. So I am, I am operating in accordance to my priorities in my life.
Uh-huh. And
so that can get you out of resentment because it's like, no, I'm, just like I was saying with Liz, I'm choosing all of this, right? Because of these reasons. I want to support my family. That's what's important to me over, what do you want to be doing during these 8 hours?
Well, in the summer, my kids are getting a little older. And so every day I walked. And then I would go to the pool. I like to swim laps. I did that. I prepped my meals. Mm-hmm. I planned my food. And now I feel like everything's just really rushed. And I do get in exercise when I can, but I feel like I'm squeezing it in. I'm squeezing in the planning. I'm so tired when it's time to do the plan for the next day. I still do it, but I feel like I'm not giving it as much thought.
And those are all thoughts that like I'm squeezing it in. I'm getting it done when I can, but you can absolutely, Corinne was talking about this the other day. You've got 8 hours of work and 8 hours of sleep. You got eight more hours a day to, to make all these choices. Right.
And
so it's like, okay, if food prep and exercise and all of that is a priority to you, then you will. Yeah. You could see it as squeezing it in, right? It's all just decisions that are made at different times of the day. And I think you're seeing it as squeezing it in because you're not intentionally planning it all the time. And you can absolutely plan, to get all of that stuff in every day, depending on, whenever you want, depending on your priorities, right? If your priority is exercise and sleep may be not the top priority, right? It's just all about the choices that you make and the priorities that you make. And just, again, like I said with Liz, you're not a victim, right? You're always making choices to, with whatever you choose to do. It's just always a choice. And it's different than when you were in the summer, right? You are working more, but you can absolutely make it happen. It's just going to look a little bit different.
So maybe spend some more time with time management and then also changing my thoughts around, I forgot what you just said. Changing my thoughts around
your squeezing
mentality.
Yeah. The victim mentality. Right. Because it's like, when you feel the resentment, you're probably thinking, and you said you were thinking, I have to go to work instead of being able to stay at home and do all this other stuff I want to do, right? But I mean, right. You're not a victim. No one is, you know, making you go to work, right? You have chosen that. So you're not a victim. Right. You're only a victim to your own choices, right? And your own priorities that you set for your life. And so, yeah, absolutely working on your thoughts around that, like, oh, I'm choosing everything. You know, I'm in total control of my life. And then, you know, from that place, going into some time management stuff where it's like, okay, let me just look at my days. Let me look at my days on the weekends and see, you know, and, but even before that, you set your priorities in terms of what you want to get done every week. And then you plug everything in, you know, you plug in work, you plug in sleep, you plug in, you know, your family time and your food prep time and exercise and all that. And I, from personal experience, I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing when you actually sit down, because our brain just wants to go like, oh no, we don't have time for everything. But it doesn't look specifically at the days and times, right? And when you force your brain to look like, get real and look at the, at your days, you realize that you have more time than you realized, and that it's all about making commitments to that time and doing what you have committed to in that time, no matter what, no matter if you don't want to do it or not. And you do it and you get it done, because it's, those are the priorities in your life.
Right. 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 I wanted to ask you one other quick thing. Okay. So last night I had a binge, and then I feel like we are so lucky. There's so many resources that we have, but I feel that feeling of overwhelm after that, where I feel like, should I do a recovery worksheet? And then I have, I just haven't started and with a nice accountability group. Should I talk to them? Should I go on Ask Coaches? Should I talk to you? Should I post in the tribe? Should I plan for tomorrow? I
don't know what to do. Recovery worksheet, number one. Always number one. Always number one. Because you can start there, right? I mean, and you can just do the recovery worksheet. And for our newbies, all this is covered in Fresh Start, actually, the first module that y'all are doing this week. So it's just so, and that's where you can learn the most about, you know, what happened, why it happened, what you would do differently next time, and really working on that, you know, not having that judgment, right? And then the rest of it is, you know, is bonus, is extra, but that recovery worksheet is non-negotiable. And so then once you start doing more of them and you start seeing patterns, right, you start seeing the same thoughts over and over again, you start seeing the same excuses, the same justifications, then maybe you talk to your accountability group about it, or maybe you post and ask coaches, hey, I'm seeing this same thought over and over again, or something like that. But I think it's best to, I mean, you absolutely do the recovery worksheet every time, and then you start to kind of build that data that then you can go and, you know, and explore more after that. But yeah, always recovery worksheet.
Always recovery worksheet. And then it's more the self-discovery, and then go back and say, here's what I'm seeing. What do you think?
Right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Because yeah, you've got to have all that data first before you want to go anywhere else outside of that. And that is that work that you do between, you know, just between you and you, right? I mean, you need to do that work first before you can ask anybody else outside of you or get any outside, you know, advice or help, because you want to get to know yourself and what you're thinking and feeling and why you're doing all of this. And and so that's why that worksheet is so important.
Okay. That's really helpful. Thanks,
right.
Total. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk
Have
to you
a
later.
Good day. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Okay. So Catherine says she's back, and then I know that Maggie got off. So let's see. Where's Catherine? Let's see if I can get her on and hear her this time. Oh, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes. Yay. Okay. I can hear you.
Amazing.
All right. How are you?
I'm better now.
Okay, good. You figured it out. You figured out one thing today, right?
One thing.
Yes. What's up?
Okay. So I I have probably done like 3 recovery worksheets, and I guess the purpose of my call or whatever today is I need help with urges. I don't know. I've done a couple in the last week, and most of the time I don't. I just think myself through it. Like, why did I? And it's usually eating off plan. It's not eating overeating where I'm past 2. But like last night, I had planned dinner. I had dinner, ate part of my dinner, and just said, screw it. I wasn't eating anything else because it didn't turn out how I wanted. And I feel like food should be like an orgasm in your mouth most of the time.
Okay.
It should taste good. And I just wasn't feeling my food. So I said, forget it. I wasn't going to eat the rest of it. And then I found myself going back and forth to the kitchen and the fridge and the pantry and just looking. I'm like, there's nothing here for me to eat that I want. And I'm like, and okay, and none of it's on plan. So I finally just said, screw it. I'm like, made the damn broccoli. And then I ate broccoli and it was okay. And I'm like, I didn't even get to my 2. And I just said, well, I've eaten everything I can that I've planned for. I'm not eating anything else. And that's the story. Okay, so now I just realized I actually was going to eat a banana and decided I didn't want one because they're overripe. And I only got a piece of cheese. And I'm like, well, it's not horrible. I could have eaten worse things. But I guess I'm trying to figure out the whole – or how to get over the urge thing or what am I supposed to do?
Okay, so what did you have an urge for? Like, what did you have an urge for last night? What was your urge for?
Something it tasted good. It could have been anything.
Okay, so something that, like you said, you know, you are already aware that you want your food. I wish I'd remember what you said a minute ago, but you were just like, it wasn't worth it, or it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, or whatever. And you know that, like, a food, you know, food is not supposed to be an orgasm in your mouth every time. It's just fuel, and sometimes it's super boring. And I had this thing for lunch today that was pretty boring, but it was just like, you know what, I got to eat before I get on this call, and that's that. And so it's just all about recognizing, like, oh, okay, I'm having this urge because, you know, I want my food to be exciting all the time. I want my food to entertain me, and I need to work on those thoughts. Right? I mean, it's really, really figuring out what you're telling yourself when you know, when you finish eating whatever it was that just, again, wasn't super exciting and maybe wasn't as good as you wanted it to be. You want to just kind of start to listen to your brain and say, okay, why am I looking for something more? If, you know, if you're not at plus 2, I mean, that's one thing, right? I mean, you can have a little bit more of something. But also you got to be careful with that, because that can just lead to more and more and more and eating beyond your plus 2. But I mean, what do you think, what would you have done differently last night if you could do it over again?
Not cooked pork loin.
So now
I never have good luck. I guess my thing is, like, it didn't even taste like anything.
Okay. So.
And I feel like I just want my food to taste good.
Well,
it doesn't have to be.
I mean, but you learned, right?
I don't know.
You learned that, okay, this recipe for pork loin isn't very good, but I'm just going to, like, I mean, it's one meal out of how many thousands and thousands of meals that you're going to eat. So this is great practice for me to just, like, eat something and be done and move on, and not have food be this need to be such the center of my life that it has been before, because that's definitely something that a lot of you all are working on in terms of, you know, food is your comfort. Food is, you know, you think food is your comfort. It's your entertainment. It's all of this. And you need to get these experiences under your belt where food is just like something you do every day that is not a hot, doesn't have to be a highlight, doesn't have to be anything. It's just fuels your body, and you go on and do what is really important in life.
Okay, so what is the white knuckling then?
So white knuckling is
resisting. I guess I've listened to the whole urge module or whatever. I forget how long ago it's been. I know I need to listen to it again. I guess I just don't understand the difference between white knuckling through something or just being in discomfort if they're two different things.
White knuckling is wanting it to not be there and is wanting to not, you know, wanting to not have the urge, wanting it to go away, talking to it and saying, this is not fair and I don't want you to be here. And I mean, you know, white knuckling is literally like you're resisting. That's what, white knuckling is. You don't want to resist an urge. A lot of y'all still use that word resist, and you don't want to resist. You want to allow an urge. And that is where you just say, okay, it's going to be uncomfortable for a while. I'm going to just, move on with my day. I'm not going to talk back to this urge and try to make it go away. I have an urge. Okay. Hello, urge. You can be here for a little while, but I'm not going to let you rule my life. But I mean, it's going to be uncomfortable. Absolutely. And at first you go back and forth between resisting and allowing. You don't just immediately go into allowing, all the time. It's a practice, right? And it's like you feel resistance and then you're like, no, I'm not supposed to be resisting this. I'm just supposed to practice sitting in the discomfort and being okay with that. And you just go back and forth at first. And so you were probably, going back and forth, and that's what you're going to do for a while until you just move more into the allowing of the urge. But, when you first feel it, it may always go into resistance first. And that's totally normal. It's, because that you're about to have some discomfort, but then you're like, no, this is part of the deal. Urges are totally normal. Nothing's gone wrong here. And I'm going to practice just allowing it and being okay with the discomfort. But all that is a practice. Are you up okay for it? Are you all in?
I guess I can try.
Yeah, right? Because that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take for weight loss. So you got to be all in. Weight loss isn't easy all the time. Right?
It's just easier to keep potato chips out of the house.
Well, that's an option too. But then you never learn to control yourself around potato chips, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that's
so you just literally just sit there and go and just, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Just sit there?
So there's a 5-step process in that buffering and urges course. Once you go back to that course, there's a 5-step process of what to do when to allow an urge. And then she also talks about counting down from 90, right? Because an urge usually lasts about 90 seconds. That's the science behind it. And so you count down from 90, not up to 90. That's too easy. You want to count down from 90. And that gets your brain kind of preoccupied with counting and you're not focusing on the urge. But there's also there's also just all these other things you can do where you don't talk back to it. You don't, you maybe do something else that feels like self-care to you, where you like go and, do something else, but you just practice allowing it. And that's all in that process, in that course.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
All right, Maggie, let's get you on. Okay. Are you coming on? There you are. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. There you are. On here.
Yes. Hi. My little picture down here. It's a fright. I just got done biking, so I'm like, not as cute as I was trying to be.
You look very, I don't know. You look like you're just like you've been outside and you're very, bright or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm sitting in this, little sunroom here
Yeah. Okay, so I have data.
Okay, awesome.
Fine, I have data. So I've been excited trying to, I was thinking about how I wanted to get on here soon and kind of talk about my data from August. Okay. And some of my tribe, my group people are on here too somewhere.
Awesome.
So August, so I'm always like 100% with making my plans and assessing them. I'm at 100%. following them. So I made my own sort of like plans thing, and I think I'm like overdoing it. So is following and overeats and off plans, are they basically the same thing?
You mean like,
what if do you I mean? Don't follow my plan, is that like an overeat or an off plan?
Correct. That both. Yeah, both. I mean, you know, whether you have, whether you eat just more of what you planned, that's an overeat, right? Or if you eat something that you didn't put on the plan, those are both not following your plan.
Okay. So basically for my little data that I made, it's this, they're the same percentage anyway.
Right.
So 63%, I haven't followed my plan or I had an off plan or an overeat.
Okay.
And, my water, well, I'm pretty good about my water. I was trying to do 75 ounces and then mid-month I changed it back to 64. Sleep, I'm almost at, I'm at 93%. And then the other thing that could be better is doing my 2-to-2. And then I wasn't doing TDLs, which that was something that I was trying to assess also to find, you know, like a correlation between, I was trying to like, you know, I'm not terribly nerdy, but I was trying to find like a correlation between like TDLs and following my plan or not following it, you know, or having an overeat. So I think what my question, where I'm questioning or what I need help with is why I'm not doing my 2-to-2, and I'm doing a little bit better this past week, and why I'm having overeats and off plans.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in the, so I'm in April, I've been in since April and I've lost 22 pounds and I'm, you know, super excited and really proud of myself for that. I've seen a lot of changes in my body and, which, and my performance and cycling and I have thoughts around those things, you know, that it's scary. And a lot of thoughts that I had in August too was, I'm afraid I'm going to sabotage. And then really the whole month of August, I only lost like 1 pound. Like I would go back and forth, you know? And,
so you did sabotage.
I did. I think. Yeah.
And
it was like, obviously it's unconscious. You know, the weekend would come or, Friday would come, you know, and be like, okay, so I lost weight, you know, it'd be all right. But I also went home. I went to out of town to Cincinnati and visited family, and I had planned for all the things, planned all the foods that if anybody's from Cincinnati, they know what I'm talking about. And I planned all the foods, but I didn't eat them like I normally eat, and which is good. And I did some exercises, but I still gained like 2 pounds, you know, whatever I lost the week before. And then I've since lost that. And so it's been 2 weeks and I've lost that. I'm back on track and whatever. So, and it's data, right? So,
so I just,
but
think
it's
for you,
such
it's
a low like, feel.
It was that fear of, you know, like it was that fear of sabotage. And then you did, it was just like a self-fulfilling prophecy that you were like, I'm scared. I'm going to sabotage.
Right.
And then you did. And so it's that thought.
Right.
It's that, you know, it's that thought that you've got to work on that. I mean, and there's probably something underneath that. Like, I mean, and you said it's kind of unconscious, and this is what you need to do is to bring it into the consciousness. Like, why are you afraid that you're going to sabotage? Why would you sabotage your weight loss?
So that's where that's, and then that's where my TDL stuff needs to come in.
Yes.
And I haven't been doing that.
Yes.
Okay. Debbie Kelly, hope you're taking notes for me. And I'll listen to this.
Yeah. You need to sit down and say, okay, I'm scared because I'm scared that I will sabotage. Why am I scared? What, you know, why would I sabotage? Probably coming from some sort of thought like I'm, you know, I'm never going to lose all the weight, or this, you know, the these first 20 something pounds have been great, but is this really going to last? Or like, this won't last, or this can't be so easy, or this can't be, you know,
interesting.
You know, but I mean, I'm just throwing thoughts out there, right? I mean,
yeah, right.
Know that you know what you're really thinking, but it's peeling back those layers, and it's like, okay, why, you know, and also thinking when you did sabotage yourself, you know, when you did overeat. So have you been doing recovery worksheets? Okay, no. So we need to have recovery worksheets on that tracker page. I'm going to make a note of that, because y'all got to start doing these recovery worksheets.
Yeah, oh, I did print out the new printer, or the new, I just printed out like a month, because I think I want to buy the purse one, but then I worry about the purse being too small. But a TDL is a thought download.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody just
said that. Yeah, I just saw that.
For journaling. But I really love the new planner, because it is definitely keeping me on track a little bit more. And, it does have the section to do like a thought download and questions and stuff like that. But then I haven't assessed my plan until the next day. And by that time I'm thinking like, oh my God, I don't have enough time to do all that. But so, yes, yeah, so there's the correlation of like, I have not been doing my thought downloads in August, like I should have. Yeah. And I would do like, I'll write a little something.
I mean, basically what a recovery worksheet is a thought download. I mean, it goes literally from circumstance to thought, to feeling, to action, to result in all the questions that we ask. Right. I mean, it is the model broken down into questions.
Yes.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. I mean, if you see it, it says circumstance, yeah. You know, it says all the words in there.
Yeah. I didn't even like put that together. Yeah.
So like that. You don't have to, I mean, you don't even have to do a separate thought download if you just do the recovery worksheet, because you're figuring out what thoughts and feelings and all, what all was going on there anyway. You can
sometimes
absolutely do more, but that's the minimum, bare minimum.
When I have done them, I'm just like, I'll think, okay, everything, it seems like it's the same thing. It's because I wanted to,
yes. I mean,
I want to do it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to, I mean, it's,
or, but I do. So this comes to my next question of, with all this is my thoughts. So it's all connected, obviously. And my thoughts and the reason I do it is because I've had a lot of stress at work. I've had my work. I don't really want to say what I do, but I mean, a lot of people know what I do. I mean, I'm a social worker like you, and we've talked before, and I coached with you back in June or July or something like that. But my work is, and I've used a lot of words, and when I coached with Kathy about work too, but I feel like it's overwhelming. I'm going to use all the words, and I know that that's not. And sometimes, and it's lately, it's been feeling so surrounding. It just seems so it's not going to ever end. You know, I have a lot of those thoughts, right? And I've done some thought downloads on that. You know, my other thought with the thoughts is that, and I'm working on the work. Thoughts. Okay. So I am working on that, and I could use some assistance with the thoughts, my thoughts of work. Trying to get back on track. What I'm saying here is, I feel like I don't want to get to my goal weight. Like I've been listening to the podcast lately. Like, I don't want to get to my goal weight yet. Or I mean, I don't want to get to my goal weight and then still have all this crap in my brain.
No. It's still going to, still going to be there. It's still going to be there.
Yep.
I mean, but
I want to get, I know this is about mastering, and it's, you know, you and I have our masters, and it's like, you're a master of something, but I know it, and it's a practice. Like, I'm going to continue to practice this all my whole life.
I almost think, I mean,
yeah,
you're just doing what you need to do. Like, you're just, okay. So you've got a few things to kind of tweak, right? Recovery work every time you do an overeat, keep doing the thought downloads, but it's, I don't want you to, you know, to think that when, you know, when you see that number on the scale, that it's just going to be like, okay, I'm fully prepared to, you know, to manage my mind for the rest of my life. And, you know, it's just always a practice. I mean, yeah. I'm been, you know, at goal weight for a long time. And it's just like, I still figure out new thoughts and still figure out stuff that is, you know, deep down in there that, and then sometimes it's just, I just want it. Right. And so it's just like, it never changes. It never ends. Like you said, you're talking about your work. It never ends. But I think this work never ends is like the good news, because we have the tools. We know what to do to manage this stuff. And, you know, and then you all have, you know, all these tools in the tribe, and you have your accountability groups, and you have all this stuff. So it's just like, I think it's just recognizing that there is no end. There is no, you know, this whole process is a journey. And when you get to your, you know, your goal weight, the journey doesn't end there. The journey just continues, and you,
right.
And, but you have to do, like, I just hear maybe something in there, like, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not preparing myself to get to my goal weight or something like that.
And yeah. I do have those feelings and thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, I mean, no, you're not doing, because you need to be doing those recovery worksheets all the time. But it's just like, do your recovery worksheets, do your thought downloads, and then you practice the thought that this is enough, right? This is enough. Yep. And then, you know, when the time comes and I need more, I will do more. But right now I'm doing enough.
Yeah. That is a perfect thought for me at work. This is enough, you said. Yes. Just writing it down. Yeah. And that's a perfect spot for me at work. Like, I don't have to work at 100%, because that's not going to happen. And just with the volume of work that we have and stuff, patients and whatever. And I just have to remind myself, and I do, I even biking today, my thought was like, I can do hard. It's like, I'm going up the hill. I can do hard things, you know, right. Or, and even at work, like, this is enough, or what I'm doing is enough. And it's good right. work. And I'm, can, so I can feel good about it. And that is the struggle of with the work thing, I think, too.
Well, and that is a thought that you really have to practice and just practice over time, because you're not going to believe it at first. You could even, you know, start with like, I'm working on believing that I did enough today.
Sure.
And then over time you prove that to yourself, right? Over time, just that, okay, I'm not, you know, behind. I'm not falling behind. I'm not, you know, I am doing enough every day. And then you just move from there. But yeah, it's definitely something where you just have to keep going, even when you don't quite believe that thought immediately, you know, when you first start.
Yeah.
But I mean, putting it up at the top of your planner every day, putting it in your work, you know, whatever stuff, planner or whatever.
Right.
And, and then just keep proving that thought true every day.
Yeah. That's true. And the feeling that is attached to that is, I feel so, even just talking about it, like I feel so light, you know? Yeah.
And like there's what if I did, I mean, cause I'm working on the same stuff, you know, it's just like, what if I just didn't beat myself up today? What a concept. Like, yeah. And we don't have to do that. What if we can just decide that we did enough today and just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I struggle with trying to think those types of thoughts. And like when patients come in, sometimes I see like myself, or I see them being swirly, and I'll say to them too, like, well, what if you didn't do that? Like, what is the worst that would happen if you didn't do that? And they literally sit there like I've just said
right.
like something horrible, or that, you know, deer in the headlights type thing. So maybe I can turn it back, if I have the brain width band or whatever, you know, to say like, well, Maggie, what if you didn't do that today? Or what if you couldn't get all these calls?
I mean, just like you all, you know, teach me so much, your patients have a lot to teach you, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Totally. And that could be like an amazing journaling opportunity every day to say, okay, what did my patients teach me today?
Oh, you're so smart, Betsy.
Well, I am a social worker, right?
I know. We're perfect for that job too. Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's get back up to this list here. We got Hope and Belinda and Holly up. All right. Yes, TDL is thought download. Y'all will be learning more about that in a few weeks. You newbies. Hello, Hope.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Can you see? Oh, you can see me too. Okay. Yes. I'm not cute either. I'm about to ready to go to the pool. So
fun.
This is my pre-pool look. How are you, Betsy?
I'm good. Good. How are you? Are you one of our new members or are you?
I am. I'm a newbie. I just joined.
Oh my gosh, so exciting.
Yeah, I did listen to podcasts prior to this. I think I started in June and I toyed with it. I did 4 really good weeks of planning and whatnot, but I would say I'm a newbie because all of these things, the TDLs, those kind of things, you know, they're all very new to me. Right. So I'm committed now though and really excited to get started. So I do have hopefully 2 short questions.
Okay.
2 very long, just to make sure that I kind of stay on track in the next week or two. So I am, so far I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing the 24-hour plans. I'm sticking to them. I'm tracking my data, those kind of things. I do have, my daughter rides horses, and I do have a 4-day horse show that I'm going to this coming week. We're leaving Thursday and coming back Sunday. Okay. I'm staying in a house with 2 different families. I don't know anything about how we will be eating, and I've never been to one of these before. So I don't know if we'll be getting groceries. I don't know if we'll be eating out. I know nothing. And I also don't know these families well. So I don't feel like I can be like, so I'm doing this thing and, you know, I'm journaling. I just don't want to like get all out there with them. So I'm looking for some advice about how to stay on plan without being able to plan, I guess. So you probably have great advice for that. And maybe even, I'm sure there's modules out there that I can listen to about vacations and stuff that would, maybe a specific module or whatnot that you think would be good. Mm-hmm. And then there was something else, like a part 2 that's kind of off subject, but I've noticed it with myself. I wonder if you've heard this before. When I start my dinner and it's on plan, but say it's a salad, I'm thinking about my second helping before I even start my first bite. And I think that I've always noticed that, but it's ridiculous. And have you ever coached anyone on that? And are there any modules on that?
Okay. Let's start with that one first.
Okay.
So first off, that's just a habit that you've developed, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's just a habit that you think about, you know, getting more when you first eat. So that's just, again, it's just like, okay, nothing's broken here. Nothing's, you know, I don't think it helps to think, you know, this is ridiculous, right? Because that's just kind of beating yourself up, right? It's just like, no, this is just a habit that I've developed over time. And, you can absolutely keep doing it if you want to, but it's just a matter of your actions, right? In terms of like, okay, I mean, if I'm not at my plus 2, I will go get a second helping, but if not, I won't. So, you know, it's just kind of keeping it really simple and not overthinking it, that this is some huge thing to overcome. No, it's just literally a thought that you have, that you have practiced thinking over and over again, meal after meal after meal, and you can absolutely practice something new where it's like, I'm listening to my body. I'm, you know, food. Well, one of my favorite thoughts is when it comes to like food and throwing away food and wanting to eat more food, especially with my salads, because man, I love my salads.
It was a salad.
Yeah. And your mind can go to like, it's a salad. It's healthy. Oh my gosh. I love my salad. I should get to have as much as I want and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I always think, well, first off, I think that more food is always available to me when I need it, right? And I can literally recreate this exact same salad again, you know, for even my next meal if I want to or whatever, right?
Right.
And so it's not like I'm never going to get this, all these same things together again. I mean, I think our mind just kind of goes crazy and thinks, but it's the most perfect salad ever. But it's like, oh my gosh, I could totally make the exact same salad, you know, tomorrow or whatever. And so it's just that kind of, you go into that scarcity mindset of like, yes, know, what if I don't have this again, or I want more or whatever? And it's like, no, it's, I can always have this again. How amazing is that, that I can just make this salad again if I want to. But you know, I'm only going to eat it to plus two, because even though it's healthy and all of that, my body doesn't need more.
Okay, so. Good. I can do that.
Okay. And then the first question was, okay, was you're traveling.
Yeah.
Okay. So first off, I want you to really think about, and this is for you newbies, this is work that you're going to be doing in a couple weeks. It's all about future self. And maybe in some of the podcasts, you probably heard about like thinking as your future self, right? Like, and I want you to think about how you want to be feeling, how you want to be thinking at the end of the weekend, right? You know, and one of those authors, he says, begin with the end in mind, right? I love that, where it's like, you think about how you, like when you're driving back from the trip or whatever, it's like, oh my God, I rock that weekend. And so you want to, you know, to start there and then back up from there in terms of, okay, this is, you know, this is how I want to feel and think at the end of the weekend. What do I need to do to get me there? And for you, it's think, you know, it's thoughts like, you know, I'm always in control of what I put in my mouth. You know, I'm not ever out of control of what I'm eating. Now, I may be out of control of, you know, I'm never out of control of how much I eat, right? And the simple answer to your question is that you can just eat according to the hunger scale all weekend, no matter what you're eating, right? You can just eat negative two to positive two every meal. Right? I mean, so it just doesn't even matter what you're going to be eating. And y'all can figure that out when you get there in terms of, you know, I mean, and but also think for you, you know, if you want to get groceries and you don't want to eat out every meal, I mean, you know, you can absolutely do that, right? And if that's what you choose. And I know you don't know exactly how it's going to work in this house and all of that, but it's just like, you know, you're always in control, right, of what you do for you and your family and all of that. So, but yeah, it's just the real simple thing about traveling, about vacations, about everything is just, you can always follow your hunger scale and you can just decide that you're, whatever you're eating, you can, and then you can also incorporate what we call good, better, best. And that's in the fueling the body module, which is week after next, but you can jump ahead and watch that module. And also in that same fueling the body mod, that's module two of No BS. There's also, I think down at the very end, there's a module on vacations and special occasions and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so, but it's just all about like, you get to decide what you, you know, do you want to still lose weight while you're traveling? Then, you know, this is what you would do, right? You would, again, you're always following your hunger scale, but maybe you want to focus on making the healthiest choices you can. And that's when I say good, better, best, that's what I mean. It's like, it explains it in there, but it's all about, you know, thinking about good choices versus better choices versus best choices in terms of, you know, how you can level up your food in healthy ways. And so, I mean, you know, you can always find salads, you can always find, you know, things in restaurants where you can just kind of level up things, you know, leave out cheese or leave out, you know, the French fries or whatever it is, right? I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to level up. And then you're always following your hunger scale. So it's just, you know, traveling and vacations. And then also in that fueling the body module, it talks about planning exceptions, right? Where you plan, you know, if you do want to have a dessert, if you do want to have a meal that isn't normally on your protocol, and protocols are also explained in that module. So I'm jumping ahead here with a lot of this, but it's just like, okay, I'm going to plan to have a dessert tonight, but I'm going to put it on my plan, you know, ahead of time. And so, yeah, it's just all of that. Like, it can be really simple.
Okay. I've gotten through module one, so I actually may be able to hit these modules this week before I leave. So that will be helpful, or maybe even jump ahead. I think the only other thing, and I probably can just answer my own questions, but what I'm thinking is I totally get, I can eat, you know, two to two. Mm-hmm. But my thought is that if you're with a family or families and they're like, okay, let's go out to dinner, but you're not hungry, so you don't really need to eat, right? But how often do we go to dinner and we eat anyway because you're trying to make the people around you not feel uncomfortable,
right?
Because you're like, but I realize I could say, you guys, I'm not really not hungry, but like, it's fine. I'll have a Diet Coke and I'll love it and it'll be great.
And we know that we also cannot make anyone feel anything, right? And that's in module 4, so don't worry about that yet. But no, that's just sneak peek to module 4. We can't make anyone feel anything. That's on them.
That's on them. You're right. Yes, yes.
And so, yes. You know, if they feel uncomfortable, that's because of something they're thinking. But again, okay. That's on down the no BS line a little bit.
Okay.
But So absolutely been amazing practice for you, right? To just say, you know what? I'm not hungry. Yeah. I'll just sit here with my Diet Coke and enjoy the company. Yeah. Right. If okay. That's what you want to do. Or you can absolutely say, you know what? I'm good. Y'all go ahead and go enjoy your lunch and I'll be here or whatever. You know, it's just like, this is an amazing opportunity for you to really practice, you know, advocating for yourself and what you want and not worrying about what other people think or what other people, you know, feel and all of that, because we all just do us, right? We all just do ourselves. And that's definitely a skill that y'all are going to be learning through this whole process is, you know, you're going to do things sometimes and other people are going to have thoughts and feelings about those things, but that is their deal. But you know, you have to always come back to why you're doing things and you know that you're doing whatever is best for you. So this will be a great practice in doing that.
Okay. Thank you, Betsy. And thank you all. Everyone in this group is amazing and supportive, and awesome. I'm really thankful for everyone so far.
Okay. Well, welcome. And we just love having all these new folks. So yeah. All right.
Have a good day.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Belinda, Holly, and Beth are up. We're only about, hopefully I'll be able to get through most of y'all that are on here. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Can you see me?
I can.
All right, good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up? We just talked not too long ago, didn't we?
We did. We talked about the model of finding a new job. Yes. And since then, I did post on Facebook. There was a whole thread on people that were changing careers. And so I've been doing that. And I've actually been writing in my planner steps that I need to start taking. So I'm looking on that.
Awesome.
The next thing, I got a lot of sun glare here.
I know. It's nice and bright there.
There we go. I thought this was going to be a question on a model about the holidays, but I think what's happening instead is there are situations where I can know that I'm going to eat off plan, or I know that there's going to be urge coming. I'm the one that posted in the Facebook the refrigerator thing that stops me. And the thing is, I have not had any overeats or off plans after work, because it has stopped me.
So what are you doing? Remind everybody what you're doing.
Oh, I posted on the refrigerator. If I'm going to eat after work, I can do it if I'm truly hungry and I had to read through certain things. Like, I wrote this plan. This plan's important to me. I like everything on my plan. I'm worth my goals. There's a couple other things. And then it said, if I've stopped and read all of these things and I still want to eat, I can have what I want and enjoy.
Okay. Oh, I love it. Okay.
And I have not had any off eats from that 3 to 5 o'clock witching hour for me.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm finding myself where there's been situations where I go right in and grab something. It's like, it's not even an urge. There's a situation and then I pop something in my mouth and then I do stop in the middle and go, uh-oh, got to do a recovery worksheet on this. And I have figured out and I've done the recovery worksheets, but it's, how do you, last night, I'll give you the situation. Last night I was out with my husband. We were doing fine. I started thinking about the holidays. And this is a thought. The holidays are going to be emotionally difficult for me this year. Usually we spend holidays with families. There's no one going to be around for Thanksgiving. My family's moved away and There's just no one going to be around. Mm-hmm. So instead of talking to him and think about how do I want to feel at the end of the holidays, I went right for a funnel cake.
Yeah. Like you, I mean, you just felt sad, right? You felt sad that you weren't going to see your family and you didn't want to feel sad. And so you had your funnel cake, right? You just buffered from those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Just very clear what happened. And, but I also think what you said something at the beginning where like, you know, an urge is coming, right? I mean, you've done.
Sometimes I do, yeah. But like the couple times this week where I've gone head dive in,
yeah.
I haven't felt like, oh, this is an urge coming.
No, because you decided, because you kind of unconsciously, you knew it was coming. And you didn't want to have to deal with it, right? You didn't want to have to allow it or, you know, sit with the discomfort. And so you're like, I'm going to eat really quick before this urge even comes, right? And so you felt this sadness about Thanksgiving and you're just like, you know, you just didn't even, it happened all so quickly that, you know, the urge didn't even come because you went ahead and fed the urge, you know, with food. And so for you, it's a matter of just like, first off, the good news is that you're aware of all this, right? You're just becoming aware of all this. That's part of the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the process of having these overeats, doing the recovery worksheets, figuring out what's really happening, you know, talking with a coach or whatever. And then it's a matter of, okay, what do I want to practice doing next? And for you, when your kind of signal is that when you start thinking, oh, maybe an urge is coming here pretty soon, that's your signal to, you know, to not eat, right? And to let the urge come. Or if you start to feel some sort of emotion that you don't want to feel, and then you know an urge is going to come after that, you just don't eat, right? And you say, okay, this could be a new kind of note for you that you put on your phone or you put somewhere where it's like, okay, when I start to feel an emotion that is uncomfortable, or when I start to, you know, think that an urge is maybe coming, that's when I do not eat and I practice allowing the urge, right? I mean, this is just the next step in your journey. The next step in your process is to practice allowing these urges without eating and without, and you know, and all of that is explained in the Buffering and Urges course about how, you know, you can count down from 90 to let the urge pass. You know, you can do some journaling during that time. You can, but you don't, you know, resist the urge, right? You don't fight with it or talk to it. You just say, I mean, what I like to say is, oh, yep, there's an urge. Yep. Or, you know, sometimes I even say like, well, of course I've got an urge right now. I'm feeling something, right? I'm feeling crappy or I'm feeling something. Of course I'm going to have an urge. And I just like, I make it not a big deal and I don't make it, you know, just, oh my gosh, here it comes, you know, and it's just like.
When I know it's an urge, what works usually is saying, this is just an urge. I'm just going to write it out. Mm-hmm. I want it because I'm trying to fill this or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like it's secretly getting into me where my brain is starting to go so fast that I'm grabbing the food before I even get to the urge. But I love the thought you're telling me, be aware of the emotion.
Yes.
And just know that if I hit that emotion or an uncomfortable emotion, that urge is immediately going to come before my brain processes it.
Well, and yeah. Like you said, and you're already catching it. Like you may have grabbed one thing and ate it, right? And then you realized, oh, wait a minute. So yeah, so it's just like, you're just, you know, you've just moving forward where eventually you'll get to where you don't even grab it or you have this urge to grab something. You're like, wait a minute. Oh yeah, this is the urge, you know, and I'm not going to grab it because I'm always in control. I put what I want to in my mouth, right? Or I don't. And so, yeah, but you're just in the process now where you're just recognizing it a little bit later, you know, like maybe one or two bites in of the grabbing, but eventually it'll get to one grab. And then it'll get to no grabs. And so, but that's just the process that you're in.
It's a lot better than the process of going head in for a whole bag of chips.
Right. See, I mean, and that's what
your funnel cake.
Yeah, that's what's so important is to think about how far you come already. Right. You want to give yourself credit and recognize how far you come and just say, okay, this is my next thing to work on. And this is just, I'm still in the process of learning, but I'm moving forward, you know, slowly but surely.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Now I got to run, get my, I've got to get my little blanket here on my, I got goosebumps. Okay. Holly, Beth, and Jessica. Okay. Holly, Beth, Jessica, and Amy are who I have lined up, and I bet we'll have time for all of y'all. Okay, let me see. Can I hear you, Holly?
Starting my video.
Okay, I can hear you.
And I just started my video.
Yes.
You see me?
Yes.
Great.
Hi.
Hey, Betsy, thanks for taking my talk. I'm excited to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question or my problem, I guess, is around maintenance. I just got to my point about 2 weeks ago, and which is super exciting, but I'm finding myself, there's some old diet mentality coming back in now.
Okay. Holly, I am going to stop your video because your signal is not good, and that may make it a little bit.
Now.
Okay.
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 Is it better?
Yeah, I think that's better.
Okay, so I'm not sure what you heard, but I did make it to my goal weight a couple weeks ago, like 10 days ago, and now I'm finding myself back into some old diet mentality where I feel like I weigh myself in the morning, which is what I've been doing every day for, you know, I started in April, PNP. I actually was a groupie before that since January, so I've been doing this a while, and I got to my goal weight. And I weigh myself in the morning, and I have a goal range now. So I'm thinking, I think that's okay. My goal range is like 145 to 150.
Okay.
So I, like, for example, yesterday I weighed 147. And I think to myself, oh, good. I can eat whatever I want because I weigh 147.
Okay.
I have a 3-pound buffer. And so I'm finding myself like I'm eating off plan now because
let me ask you, why did you think you could eat off plan now that you're at 147?
Because my goal range is 145 to 150.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was 140 to 140. Okay. So you're using that range against yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. And I don't want my old habit or my old practice, whenever I would get to my goal weight or, you know, I haven't been to my goal weight that long, but I have been there a couple times, was I'll eat back up to the top of my range and then diet, diet, diet back down. Then eat back up to the top of my range, diet, diet, diet back down. And I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
So I don't know.
So if you could go back, what do you want to think about when you step on the scale and it says 147? What do you want to tell yourself?
I guess what I want to tell myself is I'm right where I'm supposed to be today.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing thought.
Okay. I'm right where I'm supposed to be today. This is a good place for me to be today.
I love, one of my favorite thoughts when I step on the scale is, that's interesting.
That's good. That's neutral. That's not
right?
Happy or sad.
And like, and then I kind of let my brain kind of go to like, I mean, and I don't even like even kind of go any farther than that usually, but it's just like, okay, that's interesting. But you know, and then because it's within your range, right? There's no drama to be had. And it's totally normal for you to have a range of 5 to 10 pounds. I think Corinne maybe has a range of like 10 pounds just because when she's on her period and stuff, sometimes she gains 6 or 7 pounds. And so it's like, there's nothing to, you know, there's nothing to see here, right? There's like no drama to be had because you're in your range.
Right. I'm in my range and it's great. And I feel good about it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's that it's that nighttime thing where it's like, oh, I weighed 147 today. I can have this little extra cream.
Yeah.
I'm in my range. I can have this, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. It's just like I'm getting.
Well, and what you need to start adding into that thought is I'm 147 today and I want to stay there. So I'm going to make this choice. Right? I mean, you're making 147 mean that, you know, you're making it mean you can overeat when you also can make it mean I need to stay dialed in so that I can stay here.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I like that thought.
Yeah. But it's like you work so hard to get to this weight, right? And now you're using that weight against you, you know, to screw you, right? It's like, no, don't, you know, use that number to for you, to benefit you, right?
Right. Use the data as data and not as anything else, basically, as I think.
Right. Kind of what I mean, there's no right. Data is, it's just a number. It's no, there's no drama. Right. There doesn't even have to be any meaning behind it. It can literally be a number. It's just data.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Another question I have is with the hunger scale in maintenance, I've been losing weight eating 2-2. I've been losing weight with the plan I'm making, the 24-hour plan I'm making. What do I do in maintenance? Do I eat to a 3 or 4?
You can kind of, it's up to you. Just got to kind of play around with it. And if you don't want to lose any more weight, then yeah. I mean, like, but that's literally like 2 or 3 extra bites. Right. We're not talking about a bunch of extra exceptions and all this stuff. Right. Yeah. Just like it's a, you know, 1 or 2 more bites. See what happens.
Okay. And just play with that extra couple bites for a week or two and see if that allows me to stay where I want. And okay. Yeah. And I'm also just trying to stay in this range for a while and see if I want to go down a couple more pounds. Maybe I'm right. You know, I just want to live it. I just want to be okay with where I am and not be continued to restrict or, you know, cut back too much because I don't want to have to get to the point where I feel like I can't live.
Right. And I always, and Corinne was talking about this the other day, I truly believe that your body just has a weight where it just will settle out at eventually. And so just kind of stay curious with it, play with it, have a, you know, couple of extra bites and then give it, at least 2 or 3 weeks to see where you end up and then just go from there. But yeah, just stay curious about it.
Okay. That's good. That's good information, Betsy. I think that helps me. So I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Talk to you later and congrats on your, weight loss.
Thank you. It's exciting. All right. Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Love those maintenance questions because y'all, there really isn't much different in maintenance. You just keep doing what you're doing. Maybe add a couple of extra bites, but it is nothing dramatic by any means. Okay. I'm going to do Jessica, Amy, and Beth, and then I've got a bunch of questions to answer too. So I think that'll be what I'll be able to get through. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for hosting the coaching session.
Yes.
So I find myself feeling satisfied quickly at breakfast, but I'm struggling to wait until lunch and dinner. Like my stomach is growling and everything. And so I'm trying to determine how best to distinguish between emotional hunger and physical hunger.
Good question. Okay. So, first off, So you think you're eating to your true plus 2 at breakfast?
I do. And I feel like with all my meals, I'm eating to my true plus 2.
Well, the first thing is, and you may have heard this already, but this is good for everybody to hear that, you know, a meal eaten to your true plus 2 should last you at least 3 or 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours at least.
Right.
Is that happening?
I have found that even when I'm satisfied, that if I'm bored or if I'm tired or if I'm upset or if I'm celebrating or all the things, that my emotional hunger trigger doesn't just send up thoughts. Mm-hmm. I actually will have the physiological reactions. Oh, my stomach will growl. It's like my brain and my body are, I have a super, super highway connection.
Well, and I think that, you know, I don't think that that's abnormal by any means, but I think it's for you, it's like, you've got to put your, you know, your brain in charge, right? And you've got to say, okay, I know that, you know, I ate 2+2 a couple hours ago, and I know that I'm not truly physically hungry right now. And so I know that this is just emotional hunger. Now, sometimes your stomach will make noise when it's actually digesting your food too. Okay. I've experienced that where it's like, wait a minute, I just ate like an hour ago and it feels like it's, you know, stuff's going on down there, but it's just digestion. But it's just like, it's really, I mean, I think you're kind of onto yourself. Like, you know that you're not, you don't need to be eating, that it's not true physical hunger. You know that there's something going on. And so I just think it's being honest with yourself and saying, okay, even though my body is giving me these signals, I know that this is just emotional hunger, and I'm not going to, you know, use this as an excuse to overeat when I know that I'm not ready to, you know, to have another meal.
Okay. All right. And when I was preparing my question earlier, I thought, what am I going to ask? And my stomach was growling. I said, what am I doing now? I can't eat yet. And so I started drinking water, and aha, it worked.
Well, okay. So that's another thing, right? Sometimes you're dehydrated, or you just need some more water, but also watch that. I mean, you know, watch that thought, like, I can't eat, right? It's like, it's not that you can't eat. It's just, you're choosing not to eat right now. You don't want to get that wording in, like that deprivation kind of wording, right? It's just like, no, my body doesn't need food again yet. Okay. And so I'm choosing not to eat. But there's also, there is a hunger scale worksheet in the No BS, in the Fresh Start module that we're all going through next week. And there is one that is filled out, and it goes from like negative 10 to positive 10. And it gives you the physical, mental, and emotional kind of sensations, like common ones.
Okay.
And then there's one that's blank that you can fill in for yourself.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I love those worksheets, because like, it gives you this, you know, because yeah, like with hunger, you know, there's the physical sensations with true hunger, mm-hmm. or true satisfaction, right? There's the physical sensations, but then there's also thoughts and feelings that you're having, like, I think I'm done eating, or, you know, and you feel satisfied, or, you know, or I think I'm ready, you know, to eat right now, or whatever it is. And so with that blank sheet, you can kind of put your own, because everybody's a little bit different, right? And so, yeah, you can kind of get real honest with yourself and say, okay, this is really what I'm thinking when I'm truly physically hungry or satisfied. And then like, maybe you could even turn over the back and say, okay, these are the things I say to myself when I'm just emotionally hungry, right? I mean, we kind of call that mouth hunger versus belly hunger. So mouth hunger is like when you just, and then another way when we know it's just an urge, like it's just emotional hunger, is when you are craving a specific food. Usually that's like, you know, because if you're truly physically hungry, yeah, if you're truly physically hungry, broccoli would be fine, or carrots, or, you know, or whatever we planned, you know, on our plan. But right. if you're thinking about a specific food, it's usually not true physical hunger. So that's okay. Another thing to look at as well. So I'll link that hunger scale worksheet. And then there's one other worksheet. I believe it's part of the deep dive taking control course that had like, you would keep track of your urges, and you would kind of keep track of them like as belly hunger versus mouth hunger, right? Like true physical hunger is the belly hunger, and then mouth hunger is just like, okay, I wanted this specific thing, and it wasn't really true hunger.
Okay.
So I'll link both of those.
Sorry, kids running through.
That's all right. Okay.
So my one really quick question answer to, I just want to play dumb. Should sweetened drinks be included on the plan?
Yes. Anything basically that has any kind, even though we don't count calories, but anything that has any kind of caloric content should be on the plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Good question. And no dumb questions ever around here. Okay. Thank you. Bye. Ooh, she had all kinds of stuff going on. Okay. Amy and Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you see me? I can't see you.
Okay, let me ask you to start the video, and that should work.
Okay.
There you are. Hi.
Hi.
It's always a little surprising to see yourself there on the screen all the time.
Yeah, it is. So my first question is, I've been a member since September of 2018. What am I? Like, I'm not a September baby.
I was wondering about that. Y'all need to come up with a new name because you're like September. You're not even toddlers anymore. You're just September 2.
Oh, no. I feel like an adolescent most of the time, especially when I'm going off plan. So first question done. Second question is, it's kind of a situation. I have munchies and these urges typically on my way to work. Like I do pretty good on my 24-hour plans when I'm at home and getting my water in, but then I go to work and I have a 45-minute drive and I just have this, I work myself up. And then so about 10 minutes before I get to the junk food alley, I say to myself, no, we're not doing this. You are not going to be a toddler today. And then I'm just like, but what if I can't eat? I'm a nurse in an ER, so I never know when I'm going to get to eat, and it's a little bit stressful. So I'm like, and I find myself too often saying, well, I'm just going to grab something before I go to work. And I pack my lunch so that I know that I'm going to eat something that I have planned, but it's not going to get me through. And by the time I'm done, I'm going to be hangry, and then I'm going to take it out on my coworkers, or I'm going to, you know, something, you know, ridiculous. So I guess.
Okay. And so, and this happens like pretty
almost
often.
Every day.
Yes. Okay. So you just, you totally have just like a habit that you developed, right? I mean, and this is, I mean, when you say munchies, right, that's just urge, right? You just have urges. And basically the habit that you've developed is that you get in the car and the conversation starts in terms of, okay, am I going to, you know, I wonder if I'm going to get to eat today. And, you know, and you build, you basically have a drive, a 45-minute drive of white knuckling, of resisting these urges. And again, and this is just a habit that's developed. And so it's like, it builds, it builds, it builds. And then when you get close to the, to work and you are, you know, around all these probably, you know, fast food places or whatever, like, yeah. And so you, I mean, it's just like, I think about it happening. It's like, well, that's, of course, that's what's going to happen because you have just built this up in your mind the entire drive. And then, and then on top of that, you just have a habit of doing it every day and you have these same thoughts. And so first off, I want you to like line out the whole, exactly what you told me here, and you can look back to yourself, but it's like, you have this story that just happens over and over again. And so you want to get it all out at first and all the thoughts like, I'm going to get hangry. And what if this lunch isn't enough? And what, I mean, I just need to get a little something, you know, before I go in. All of those thoughts are just ones, again, that you just practice over and over again. And your brain is just, I mean, this is just a routine that you have developed, just like getting up and going to work. It's a routine, and your brain is like, okay, get in the, you know, and there's all these different cues, right? There's all these different patterns where it's like you get in the car, you go. And I mean, one thing that you can do, so once you, you know, kind of get it all out and you're just aware of what's happening and you're like, okay, it's just urges and it's just a habit, all of that stuff, nothing's gone wrong. Nothing can't be worked on here, right? It's just, this is not a big deal. Then you can start, okay, so what am I going to do differently? And one of the biggest things that you can do is that you switch up this pattern, right? You either, maybe you drive to work a different way where, I mean, even just one different turn where you're not driving past every single restaurant or something like that, that totally gets your brain off this just because your brain is like, it's so happy right now because you are just doing the same thing every day. It loves routine. It loves habit, right? And you've got to like rock its world and go and, you know, drive a different way, practice thinking something new and all that kind of stuff. And so you've got to, that's the kind of the solution is that, you know, to build a new habit, you have to break down the original one.
All right. Also, I've been like off and on. I took a whole month off, like for December, because I was just did. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of gotten back on plan or gotten back on track, and I printed the new planner, and I love the new planner, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing all the things, and I'm like, yes, I'm assessing every day, and yes, I'm checking off that I have followed my plan. And my accountability partner, we've been kind of chatting, and then I look back and I'm like, I am not following my plan. I'm grab assing here and there. I'm a huge taster at dinner. Mm-hmm.
So why are you saying that you are? I mean, how are you justifying that?
Because I want to.
Okay. Well,
because I have that, can't remember where there's all the bubbles and you check them off.
The tracker. Yeah. The habit tracker.
I really like that habit tracker, and I want that to be, I want to check that off. So I checked it off, and then I'm like, then I crossed it out, and I'm totally lying to myself.
Yeah, you are totally.
So I'm working on changing those things up. Yeah. Changing the tasting, yes. Changing the, and being honest, and I don't like it. I don't like having to not have that. I make my plan every day. I assess my plan every day. I tell myself, oh, you were kind of a jerk. You didn't do that every day. And it just keeps repeating itself.
Okay, like, first off, quit telling yourself you're a jerk, right? You just made a choice. Okay. You just made a choice, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you don't want to add the beat down on top of that. So it's just like, okay, but I mean, here's the good thing. You want to make check off that you followed your plan. Mm-hmm. So you're motivated, right? You are motivated to check off that plan, but you know what's required to, you know, to do that. And so, you know, when you want to eat while you're cooking, when you want to stop, you know, before you get to work, it's like, no, I want to check that box off tonight. You know, honestly, right? I want to be real and be honest and follow my plan for real. And so I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to make choices that result in me, you know, following my plan because I want to check that box off. Yeah. You're not supposed to like it that when you go, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean,
but, and so, and it's not super comfortable when you start getting real with yourself and you start getting honest. And so, but that's part of the process. And that's, I mean, the good news is that, you know, you're doing it, right? You're allowing yourself to do it. And yeah, it doesn't feel great, but it's also, you don't want to use that as a reason to beat yourself up, right? You don't want it to be like, I don't like this. And, you know, it's like, that's the work is becoming aware of what, you know, the lies that you were telling yourself, the, you know, where you really are. And it's just like, okay, I was lying to myself. Yes. This is where I am right now. And the key piece is that dropping the judgment and say, I've got to meet myself where I am, right? You can't hate yourself on the way down the scale. You can't, you know, hate yourself to weight loss, you know, you can hate yourself now and then say, well, you know, when I lose weight, I'll love myself. No, you got to love yourself now. And
it's a work in progress.
Yes, just work in progress. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're doing it. You're doing the work. You're doing awesome.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Good questions. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Beth. You'll be the last one. Well, you'll be the last one. Then I'll answer questions and then we'll see. Okay. Oh, what a cute picture.
Thanks.
Let me ask you to start your video. Oh, there you are.
I think I did. Okay.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. What's up? I'm not even... I've been waiting, thinking, okay, maybe she won't get to me.
Nope. Here you are.
So I've been... I was a groupie since last August. And I joined in June. And I lost 35 pounds so far, which I'm super happy about. Great. I'm not trying to lose it quickly. I'm okay with that. Thing is, I had lost 30 as a groupie, so only five since June. And the last like few weeks I had like a small gain, then I lost nothing. And then this week was like 0.2 pounds. Cause when I had the small gain, I'm like, oh, it's my period. It'll go away. I'm not too worried about it. I took it as data and kept on moving. I, as far as the basics go, I'm 100% on water. I make a plan every day. I'd say 95% of the time I follow the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is not always great for me. I'd usually get about 6.5 hours of sleep. But my question, I was thinking this week, because I had posted a question and asked coaches about sugar, because when I first started, I just realized my body didn't like sugar. And I'm definitely in no way, shape, or form, no sugar, but I greatly decreased sugar. I cut out, like, do monitor and really, you know, just hone in on the sugar. And that seemed to help. It, you know, it kind of, when I first started, it sped up weight loss. I was losing weight quickly and that wasn't an issue. So, at first I thought, because I've been having, I was having like a prepared frozen meal, but it was supposedly clean ingredients. And when I first started doing PMP, that's what I was eating for lunch pretty much every day. And everything was working. Well, just about 6 weeks ago, I started having mason jar salads instead. So I was thinking, well, maybe it's the sugar in the salad dressing. And when I asked that question and asked coaches, they're like, are you really following your plan? Are you really? And at first I was like, well, of course I am. I wouldn't have said it like that. And then I was like, well, I am following my plan. But then I was thinking, maybe because I was 35 pounds heavier, maybe I have always been doing it wrong. And it's just been working because it's less. So just the last couple of days, I had an epiphany. Well, maybe been eating to a plus 3, and that has worked. 25 just doesn't work anymore. Of course, I was like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to really check in on that. And that's going to, you know, be my new thing. And then the last 2 days, I have lost all resolve. I had pizza for dinner. Then today I did have an off-plan eat after having this new determination that I was going to really check in on that. And then I lost it all. So I don't even know where my problem begins.
Have you done recovery worksheets on your ovaries?
Yes.
Okay. Every time. What have you discovered? I mean, like, what are you thinking that's been leading you to do these overeats?
It's really just that I want it. Like, I mean, last night, like, my husband always cooks dinner, and that's, I'm super lucky about that. And we do plan, we make a weekly plan, for the week. So we always know exactly what we're going to have. And then last night I got home from work and he said, oh, by the way, I forgot I didn't have eggs. I couldn't make what was on plan. So I just ordered pizza. And I very well could have said, well,
oh shoot, you're cutting out.
I planned. I was like, nope, I just want the pizza. Yeah. So I did. You said I'm cutting out. Okay.
All right, you're good. Okay. Well, I remember your question. I remember reading your question and Ask Coaches. And I think what's going on is that, you know, you got honest with yourself, right? Like, you know that you probably are overeating a little bit. And now that you've lost some weight, you need to eat a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're probably kind of rebelling against that. And you're thinking, oh, it's not fair. I should get to just eat what I've been eating and, you know, and still lose weight. But that's just not the case sometimes. And now, and then you started to rebel and just eat whatever you want.
Right. I guess.
I mean, I think that's,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, cause it's not, I mean, it's even, you know, it's honestly, I've been making good choices up until the last couple of days. And so I was just, you know, I was so frustrated that like the weight had stopped and I'm like, well, if it's not going to come off, I guess I'm just going to go ahead and eat.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Like, well, if it's not going to come off the way I've been doing it, then screw it.
And you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's going on. It's real simple. Yeah. I mean, when you start to get honest with yourself, when you start to really just like I was talking about with Amy, with, you know, when you start realizing these lies you've been telling yourself, yeah, it can feel really frustrating. Like, you know, it's just, and you had to decide, okay, am I going to eat in response to this frustration, or am I going to decide I don't want to feel frustrated and decide, okay, I'm gaining awareness of what's going on and this is what I need to change to keep moving forward. And I want it bad enough. I want this for me you know, bad enough that I'm going to, you know, keep moving forward. And so I just think for you, it's like, okay, you had to go through all of this to realize that, all right, the truth is I probably need to be eating a little bit less to get the scale moving again.
So can I ask you a question about the...
Okay, I'm going to turn your video off and see if
plus
maybe...
Plus two. I'm really good at it too, but I've noticed that like I usually... Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I usually eat breakfast around 10 and... by one, when I typically eat lunch, I'm really hungry, sometimes maybe even to a negative three, or at least I feel like I am. And then, so I feel like the breakfast technically lasts 3 hours, but I feel hungrier earlier than that.
What are you having? What are you eating for breakfast?
I usually eat oatmeal. I'll use plain oatmeal with, and I'll have a cut up banana in it. And maybe usually I have like one of those 100 calorie packs of almonds.
And, yeah, I would get some protein in there.
Okay. Maybe. Okay.
I would work on getting some protein in there, and I bet that breakfast will last you a little bit longer.
Okay. All right. That's
and maybe like
plan.
cut the banana. I don't know if you're doing like a whole banana, but maybe cut the banana in half. Maybe sometimes oatmeal or just try something different, right? Try an egg or something like that, right? But oatmeal does not keep me. I had it yesterday and it just doesn't, it just goes right through me in terms of it just doesn't keep me. And so
That's a great idea.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I've been having that just because it's been something that's easy to prepare. And I know it's something, but that's a really good idea. I didn't ever even thought about that level up in my breakfast. I always just assumed, well, this is pretty simple. What else can I level up? But that's a great idea. I'll try that.
Yeah. Because it's all about just staying curious about what, you know, how things feel in your body. And like, I like to have oatmeal every once in a while. I mean, I just like it, but I know that it's not going to hold me as long as something like, you know, eggs and bacon and, you know, something else. Or, I mean, I usually do the bulletproof coffee in the morning, but it's just, you know, so you just have to play around with it and see what works for you and just stay curious with it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll try that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, y'all, let's get into these questions here real quick. Okay. Anonymous attendee. Hi, I'm brand new. I'm wondering how specific I need to be on my 24-hour planning. Can I add fresh veggies to any meal at any time, or do I need to plan those in advance? Not necessarily, as long as you are still always following your hunger scale, right? And so, I mean, you don't even have to be specific about what foods you eat necessarily, especially at first, if you don't want to, as long as you are following your hunger scale. So, some of the private clients that I work with and I see their plans most days, sometimes they have, you know, just good, better, best, which is what you newbies are going to learn about in the Fueling the Body module next week after next. They'll just put good, better, best choices on their plan, or they'll just put, you know, healthy choices on their plan, and that works for them. But it's just all about, you know, making healthy choices, still making healthy choices, right? And not planning specifically, not using that as an excuse to, you know, to eat things that you wouldn't, you know, that you don't want to normally eat. And then also not using that as an excuse to overeat and eat past your plus two. But yeah, just see how that goes. And then don't overthink it too much. I mean, you don't have to put every single food you're going to have. You know, let's say you're having a salad, right? I just put salad with chicken or something like that. I don't put salad and tomatoes and, you know, croutons and whatever else, right? I just put salad with chicken. And so I know that what I put in my salads, and that's what I'm going to have. So can you explain how to do the compelling reason worksheet? Let's see. I need to look at that. I'm going to answer that one in a second after I look this up, because I need to look at that. Okay. I'm going to answer the next one. Deb. So I know that this is a learning process. I've heard others say that I don't have to be perfect at this. Can you still have overeats, off plan eats and so forth and still lose weight? Yes. Corinne actually talked about this I think it was on yesterday's live that she did. I'm not losing at all. I've been playing with the same few pounds for months now and can't seem to get past it. I've been making 24-hour plans and assessing them. I drink my water and I get my sleep. So if you're not losing weight, Deb, then you are still, you know, overeating. And so it's a matter of looking back at your data and saying, okay, what is one way that I can level up, right? If you're having 3 or 4 overeats in a week, scale it back to 3 at least, you know, at least, and see what happens, right? But you don't absolutely have to be perfect, but if whatever you're doing and you're not losing weight, then it's time to start looking at your data and say, okay, how can I level up? How can I have one less overeat next week? Something like that, right? And so it's really a matter of just getting honest with yourself and saying, okay, maybe I might need to make a little bit harder choice in the moment than I have before. And that's what's going to get the scale moving again. Okay, let me pull up this worksheet. I don't see it here. Maybe it's in the, oh, it's in No BS. Okay. Let me look. Compelling reason. Let me pull it up. And this is way over in module 3. So for you newbies, you're not there yet. But basically what you do is that you answer the questions, right, that are in the second part of the worksheet. What do you want? Why do you want to lose weight? Why do you want to look good? Why do you want other people to notice you? Why do you want to feel important? Why do you want to do bigger things in life? It's all about the asking these why questions. So with your compelling reason, you could even start and do it like this. You could say, I want to lose weight. And then ask yourself, why do I want to lose weight? I want to lose weight because I want to look good in my clothes. Why do I want to look good in my clothes? Because I want to feel good about myself. Why do I want to feel good about myself? So that I can, you know, just keep digging deeper. And that's what the compelling reason is all about, is that you can find all of these compelling, all those different layers that you're going down. Those are all compelling reasons that you can keep, right? And that you, because you want to have a bunch of compelling reasons. You don't want to have just one big one. You want to have a bunch of them that you can choose from in the moment, because you never know in the moment when you have an urge to, you know, maybe when you're at a party and you didn't plan to have a drink and they have a open bar, right? You want to be able to go back to these compelling reasons, and you never know which one might help you in the moment to help you make the decision that is best for you. And that doesn't mean that a compelling reason makes things easier or makes things less uncomfortable, right? But it's just a reminder on why you're choosing discomfort. So if you have specific questions about the compelling reason worksheet, just put those in Ask Coaches. Okay. Is want a thought or a feeling? Want is, I would say that's a thought. I mean, I want something. That's a thought. So a feeling, like connected to, like, let's say I just want it. The feeling would be justified, would be deserving, something like that. Right? So you want to kind of flesh out that thought, and I want, you know, I just want it, or I want it because of this reason, kind of flesh that out into a thought. How often would you recommend reevaluating your +2, -2? Basically, you don't need to unless you stop losing weight, right? If your weight starts to, you know, to stop or to slow down, that's when you want to look back at your data and want to just, you know, kind of practice maybe leaving a couple of extra bites behind at meals. You want to really practice eating undistracted, eating slower, and really start dialing in your hunger scale. So, you know, being sure that you're fully hydrated so that, you know, you don't have these false hunger signals that are really just you need to be drinking something, you know, that kind of stuff. So Yeah. So, but I mean, just stay curious with it, right? You can always, and actually in a few weeks, once we get done with No BS, we're going to have a whole week of, hunger skill challenges. And that's where, like, sometimes we have you, not eat your first meal until like 11 a.m. We have you like just eat half your meal and, you know, and put away the rest and see how you feel and just stay really curious with it. So that's super fun. Okay. Any advice on helping our brain catch up on changing priorities? Excuse me. I have a bit of grief over not obsessing as much as I used to about being perfect. I know that's better for my mental health, but it's weird. Work and perfectionism is lower. Momming and my self-care is higher. The identity shift is nice, but weird. Yeah, I think it's just being okay with weird right now, right? Just be okay with weird because, yeah, you're doing something different. You're changing your priorities, and it's going to be weird. But it's weird. I mean, weird is a feeling, right? It's weird because you're thinking this feels weird or this is different or this is – you could also just decide to think, you know what? All of this is totally normal. I'm just working on changing my life and changing my priorities. And, you know, and I'm figuring this out. So it's, you know, it's only weird if you make it weird, right? And so, but yeah, it's just like, okay, I'm doing something different. It's not going to feel like it felt before. And that's all okay. It doesn't mean I'm doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean anything is broken. It's just different. And, but I know that I'm doing what's best for me. As a newbie and someone who has been very habit driven and compulsive, how do I recognize what a plus two is and then actually stop eating? First off, quit saying you're habit driven and compulsive. If you keep saying that, if you keep thinking that, you're not ever going to change, right? You've got to be open and say, okay, in the past, I was like that, but I'm working on changing. I'm working on doing something different this time. That was my big power thought when I was losing weight, you know. But I would suggest you never say habit driven or compulsive ever again, because this doesn't seem like it's helping you, right? You're working on doing something different. That's a great thought to practice. And so when you open yourself up and you start saying that, wait a minute, I'm open to doing something different. That makes your plus two and actually stop eating maybe a little bit more possible and a little bit easier, because I'm working on doing something different here. So let's get curious about this plus two. Let's see what happens when we just stop eating. Let's listen to our brain and see where it goes. It's going to throw a fit for sure. And that's not a sign of anything going wrong either. It's just the way it goes, right? And so, yeah, so you've got to kind of warm up your brain to this new stuff. And you do that by practicing new thoughts like, I'm working on doing something different. Okay. What do you think about not having a goal weight? It's up to you, Claire. I mean, I think it's good to have some sort of path to be on, not necessarily a specific number if you don't want to, but, I think it might be good for you to just kind of have a number where it's like, okay, when I get to this number, I'm going to assess and see how I feel, see if I like the way I look, see if I like my lifestyle and all that kind of stuff. And then I might keep losing more or not. But I mean, most of us don't know. I mean, most of us just pick a number out of the air, right? And we don't know if that's where we're going to end up. You know, we may end up stopping before that, or we may end up losing more weight. But I just think it's important to kind of think about why you wouldn't have a weight that maybe you were just aiming towards. Because you want to have, I mean, you want to know where you at least want to get in the next step, right? You want to have some sort of path to go towards. And again, then you just reassess at that point. So it's not like a goal weight is set in stone. It's not the be all end all. And it's also not ever you don't ever have to make it mean anything about you if you don't ever get there, right? It's just all about just having a kind of a path to walk down. And then you can always, you know, change your decision whenever you want to. What are your thoughts about only weighing once a month? Y'all can weigh as often or as, you know, as often as you want, right? It's all about why. Why would you want to just weigh once a month? What do you make that number on the scale mean about you? And so, you know, a lot of people in the tribe weigh every day. Some others, a lot of them, people weigh every week. Others maybe only weigh once a month or maybe even less often than that. But it's all, again, it just goes all back to what you make it mean. And if you're going to beat yourself up every week, if you don't see the number that you expect and then, you know, go crazy and go overeat, then yeah, I don't suggest weighing very often, right? But you just want to have a reason for weighing in that you like and that it's just data, right? It's just one measure of your progress, and there are all kinds of other measures, especially including our habit tracker, right? Which is on our website, and it's part of the planner if you order the planner, or you can print it off the website. And that's another piece of data, right, that we have in terms of keeping track of our actions. And so, and the number on the scale is just more data. But it's just all data to be super curious about and, you know, decide how you're going to go forward from there. Okay, let's see. Any advice on handling how I speak about not eating when my child is asking me to eat or why I'm not eating? My parents push the clean plate club, but I'm afraid if my kid sees me restricting too much, I could encourage similar behavior. Trying to set positive, healthy ideals for food for my kiddo. I already stopped asking, are you full? And instead, still hungry. Yeah. And I mean, my thought is if they ask you, you know, if your child asks you why you're not eating, you just say, I'm not hungry right now. And, you know, if you just say it like that, your child's not going to see it as restricting, right? It's almost like you need to examine yourself and why you see it as restricting, because it's not restricting if you're not hungry. You know, it's just not. It's like normal eating behavior for human beings. So, you know, it's your child does, you know, your child models after you, right? Your child listens to you. You know, let, you know, think about our parents, right? I mean, I'm 44 and I still think about things that my parents told me and, you know, things that I want to keep thinking and maybe some things that I don't want to keep thinking, but we can be a huge influence on our children. And if we decide that, that we just don't eat when we're not hungry and it's not restricting, it's just the way that we eat. We just fuel our body when it needs fuel, and then other times we just don't eat. Then they listen to that and they hear that and then they model that, especially at, you know, at the age where your children are. So yeah, I keep my nieces who are 1, 2, and 6. The middle one's almost 3, especially the 3-year-old. Yeah. She totally models, you know, what I do, right? And if I say I'm not hungry, then, you know, I'm not hungry anymore, then she listens to that and she makes a decision, you know, based on her hunger too. And that's, you know, that's learned behavior by, you know, by modeling what she sees. So that's a really good question. Okay, last question. New member here, starting a challenge at my gym on Monday that has a very strict meal plan. Wondering if I can still follow along while on my challenge. That's up to you, Angela, in terms of what you want to do, right? You know, we have our four basics here. We have sleep, water, making a plan, and then following the hunger scale. And so, you know, you can absolutely, you know, just plan the food that they suggest. And the only thing that may be different is that you know, you following your hunger scale. Because a lot of times meal plans, you know, that we get from gyms or online or whatever it is, it doesn't, they don't take the hunger scale into consideration. You know, you just, or like Weight Watchers, you know, you have these number of points and no matter how hungry or full you are, you get to eat these points, right? And so for you, the best advice I have for you is to, you know, if you want to follow the plan, that you follow, you know, eat what they tell you to eat, but then you still follow your hunger scale. And so that means when you're not hungry, you don't eat what they tell you to eat. Because that's what we teach here, is to always listen to your body, and you don't eat when you're not hungry. So, but then you also eat when you are hungry. And so if they don't have some sort of food on this plan, when you're hungry, then what are you going to do? Right? So that's why we say that meal plans just don't work, because, you know, you have different hunger levels on different days, and it just depends, you know, how you feel each day. So, so again, it's totally up to you, but I just suggest that you always follow your hunger scale no matter what. But it may give you a good idea of kind of foods that you like, or foods that, you know, feel good in your body. That kind of stuff. So, but already thinking of it as a very strict meal plan is not a great start. I'll tell you that, because if you think of it as strict, then are you really going to follow it long term? You know, and we're all about losing weight the way we're going to live it for the rest of our lives. Like, the plan that you make today looks very similar to the plan that you make when you're at goal weight. I mean, it may be a difference of a few bites, but I mean, what happens when you go off this strict meal plan? You're going to gain some weight back? And that's the whole thing about these diets, y'all, these diets out there, anybody other than us, basically. What happens when you say, you know what, I don't want to eat keto for the rest of my life? Then you stop eating keto and you gain the weight back. I don't want to count points for the rest of my life. So you stop counting points and you gain the weight back, right? I mean, we've all done it, or most of us have. And so it's time to do something different. So I'm kind of all over the place with you, Angela, but you know, you can absolutely do what you want to do, but just think about what you want to do for the rest of your life. Okay. All right, y'all, that is all I've got for today. It is 2:00 and I've got to get back in to ask coaches with these new folks. We've got some extra questions in there, and I love going in there and asking and answering y'all's questions and seeing what questions y'all have, right? What, you know, if there's anything that we might be able to make easier for you all or clearer, and then, but keep those questions coming, because it keeps us busy, right? Busy in a good way. So, all right, y'all, take care. And this call will be up. Oh, my itches. This call will be up within 24 hours, probably sometime tomorrow morning, the recording. And so any of you all that got coached, you can go back and watch yourself. And then it'll also be in our private member podcast that you can download from our website. There's instructions on our website about how to download the private member podcast, and you can listen to yourself. And you can always do that if you miss a call, or you want to listen to something that you you're just walking or driving or whatever. You can always have us in your ear. But definitely for you newbies, focus on no BS right now. Right? You don't want to get, you know, feel overwhelmed. You want to just focus on no BS, and for at least the next few weeks, at least the next couple of months, because we've actually got 8 weeks of content for y'all to go through the next couple of months until we do something new. So All right, y'all, take care, and I will see you in Facebook and see you in Ask Coaches. Oh, and I'll be back on here Tuesday night. I am, Kathy and I are switching calls this week. So y'all will see me back here on Tuesday night, and then Kathy will be back here on next Saturday. Okay, y'all, take care. Bye.